today on Real Radio.
If I were to tell you today, you know him, I just know you know him. Look at you. You look so nice. You got a new shirt. You've dressed up for church. You look so sweet. You're such a nice guy. I know you know God. That's not true. That's not true.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You That You Are Going to Heaven, Part 1, begins a new series called Who Told You? So why is there a need for this series anyway? Well, there are so many voices around us giving their version of the truth. But we can't go wrong when we go to the Bible for the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 20 through 29, it's perhaps one of the most frightening portions of Scripture in the Bible for this reason. It describes a group of people who are completely out of touch with true spiritual reality. They believed they were going to heaven because of their good works. They were even performing miracles. But their righteousness was self-based, not from knowing God and not from knowing the true nature of His gospel. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the gospel is God's word to mankind, and it comes by both revelation and inspiration. By revelation, it's realizing the gospel is the central theme of the entire Bible. And by inspiration, it is verified by testing and proven reliable. And now continuing his lesson called, Who Told You That You Are Going to Heaven, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Born again, Jesus said, is when the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside the believer, not because you say it's happened, not because you say that you've accepted Christ, not because someone has told you that you're going to go to heaven, but the inside, the true believer knows that God is at work inside of my life. Now, Pastor Morgan talked about having a parking problem. After these series of sermons, there'll probably be no parking problem here at church anymore. But did you know that if that's true, we'll be a healthier church? Because I'm committed to wading into the confusion of these days and all of the stuff that people are saying. And we'll address them this morning, and they might be rather stinging to our hearts, but it's a sobering, terrifying thought to actually consider that there are those today that believe that they have received salvation from God, self-deluded and fooled, because either somebody told them that they're saved or they've said things like, oh, just pray the prayer. If you just pray the prayer, or if you just go forward, or if you just believe in God. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Just believe in God and you'll be fine. Did you know that's false doctrine and heresy? That's not the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. And the gospel is where we must begin. Today we begin to look at what the Bible says. Who told you that you're going to heaven? And we must start in the beginning. Number one today is our primary great consideration is what is the gospel message? And I must say, what is the gospel message today? Because the gospel message today, if it's truly gospel, it's the same gospel message that was yesterday. It's the same one, listen, that was 2,000 years ago. According to God and His Bible, it's the same one that has been since Genesis chapter 3. It's never changed. It's never changed. And so who told you that you're going to go to heaven? We must answer the question, what is the gospel? If I'm going to go to heaven, I need to make sure. So number one, jot it down if you would. The gospel is God's word to man. God's word to mankind. That's the gospel. The gospel has come to us by two means. Number one, note takers, by revelation. According to God, He has revealed His word to mankind, the Bible. The Bible is God's word. It's not some old dusty book. It's not some thing that's full of errors, but somehow it has survived. The Bible says of itself, and it has proven itself to be true in every aspect of science and of inquiry, is that it has been given by God by revelation. That's a tall statement, but you go find out, as we said a few weeks ago, and test it and see if it's true. Secondly, it's by inspiration. That God's word is powerful, and it's powerful now. And listen, it is my prayer, and there are people praying right now that by the time we come to the end of this message, the revelation of God's gospel and the inspiration of it by the Holy Spirit will bring conviction to the human heart. That's a miracle, by the way. Think about that. So what is the gospel? This is it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. This is Paul speaking, which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand. You receive the gospel and you continue on in the gospel, by which also you are saved. In other words, there's no other way to be saved but by the gospel. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. What does that mean? You can believe that the gospel came from God. You can believe that God exists. You can believe that Christ died on the cross. But unless that belief, listen, takes you to faith, you're not saved. Well, I believe in God, but are you saved? Well, Pastor, how dare you say that? I went through 4 or 8 years of seminary. Of course I'm saved. You're not saved because of your attendance at seminary or paying the bill. You may say, I believe everything in the Bible is written in the Bible. Ah, but has that belief taken you to faith? Big difference. He goes on, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 says, for I delivered you, first of all, that which I received. That, look, number one, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Here's the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Bible. Amen. Next, look at verse 4. The second thing is, he was buried. Jesus Christ actually died, dead. He wasn't mostly dead. He was dead, he died. He was buried. And that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Isn't that amazing? The Apostle Paul is saying that the Old Testament announced that Christ would be risen from the dead 3 days later. Of course, the Bible cites Jonah and other passages for that to be true. Acts 4, verse 12. King James Version Bible reads, neither is there salvation in any other. Wow, isn't that pretty, that's pretty narrow, isn't it? Isn't that what we read a moment ago? Narrow? For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Note the imperative. You must. There's no salvation without Christ. Not associating with Christ, but knowing him. Do you know him today? Listen, church, do you know him personally? And listen, the knowing of him is something that you cannot be convinced of by external sources. If I were to tell you today, you know him, I just know you know him. Look at you. You look so nice. You got a new shirt. You've dressed up for church. You look so sweet. You're such a nice guy. I know you know God. That's not true. That's not true. Philippians 2, verse 8, this is the gospel. And being found, that's Jesus, in the appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I want you to pay close attention, because where we're going today, in a few moments, you're going to be highly offended if you don't believe what the Bible just said right here. You're going to, in fact, ushers, you just open the door and just let people run out. Because if this message clears this church out, then that's not a bad thing. Do you know that name? And do you know the person of that name? That name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, the spirit realm, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the gospel. And so true is the gospel that the Apostle Paul, when he was departing in the book of Acts from the Ephesian elders, they were gathered together, and Paul, on his mission to present the gospel, made it very clear. And I thought about, by the way, this verse as I researched it this week, thinking if Paul was here today, I'd want him to be spiritually proud of this message. And then I thought, forget about Paul. I want God to be able to put his thumbs up regarding this message. And listen to what Paul said. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly from house to house. What did he do? Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks. Number one, repentance toward God. Metanoia, change your mind about what you think about God. Number two, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. None of these things move me, says the apostle. He said that because people were telling him, you're going to go to Jerusalem and you're going to get beat up and arrested. It's not going to be good for you. And Paul said, don't trouble me with those kinds of threats. I could care less. He says, nor do I count my life as dear to myself so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25, and indeed now, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Why? Because eventually he's going to die. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. What does that mean? That means Paul told them the truth if he was going to be popular with them or not. Did you hear that? That's what we're missing in today's pulpits in America. Rock star pastor status is destroying the church and the flock of God in America. Paul says, I don't care if I'm liked or not. I love you enough to tell you the truth. He says, in verse 25, indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Verse 27, for I have not shunned. Hupostello is the Greek word. It means I have not, listen, conducted myself in a cowardice manner. It means I've not held anything back so that I might be popular. It means that I did not disclose, but I revealed everything to you. It means to keep nothing secret, but to make it acceptable, regardless the result. To declare to you the, what is it? Whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves. He's speaking to the pastors on that beach there, to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus did it, not us. It's his flock. Sadly, the true gospel has fallen into bad company in our day and has become scarce, as I said a moment ago, in America's pulpits. In its place, it's preached a God, a Christ, a salvation, no cross. There are churches today that will not mention sin, makes people feel bad. It's not a popular saying. There was one famous minister who said, I'll never mention the word sin from my pulpit. He said, it is a negative word. That minister is leading people astray. You can't go to heaven unless you're rescued. And you've got to understand that you're being rescued from sin and from the grave and from death. If we're doing churchianity, we're just creating a bunch of false, lost people who think they're going to heaven. And Jesus makes that very clear. There are those who are deceived. In the place of preaching the gospel, that's without the cross, that's without the Christ, without confession, we make some easy believism. That if you just believe in God, beware of anything or anyone who just says, believe in God and you'll be fine. I don't need to stress to this church that we need to start asking people, when you ask me to believe in God, God who? When you ask me to believe in Jesus, Jesus who? What Jesus? There's all kinds of Jesuses out there today. All of the religions have Jesus. Did you know that? None of them deny Jesus. They just reinvent him. Which one do you believe in? Who told you that you're going to heaven when they've said, asking, just believe, or some of the things I've heard, God knows your heart, or just turn to God and he'll help you, or Make your way forward and you'll be saved. I'm not knocking any of these things, but you got to finish it. Or the question that is very affectionate to us, would you like to accept Christ? You cannot ask someone if you'd like to accept Christ until you have first told them who Christ is. Who is he? Who is the Christ of the Bible? That is the gospel. All right, well, I told you this message would be offensive, but I wanted to get out of this series right straight out of the gate and clear out the house today. This is tough for some of you. But the first thing I want to show you is that the Pope is stressing interfaith unity among the religions of the world. Now, you may be a Catholic today, and I would encourage you to be a follower of Jesus Christ and not a Catholic. You say, well, I'm okay, Pastor. I go to Calvary Chapel. That ain't going to help you one bit. Well, that's okay. I'm not a Catholic, and I don't go to Calvary Chapel. I'm a Baptist. You need help. Well, that's okay, Pastor. I'm sitting over here in this group, and I'm good because I'm from the Assembly of God. Listen, all of us need to divorce ourselves from those labels and understand something. That unless we're a follower of Jesus Christ in obedience to him, we don't know him. And listen to this. By the way, this is from the Catholic newspaper, the Catholic webpage. In first prayer video, Pope stresses interfaith unity. We are all children of God. Do you know who said we're not all children of God? Very good. Jesus Christ. Are you aware of that? Did you know that Jesus Christ said, number one, you're all alienated from God. Number two, not all of you are children of God. Jesus went on to say that some are of the children of the devil. But how many 1.9 billion people on earth are listening to what the Pope has to say over the Bible? And you're going to decide today in this congregation. You're going to have to choose right now to obey Christ or to obey a man. To obey a man who was born just like you were born and a man who will die in this world just like you will die. But listen, the issue is for the Pope and for you and for me, I must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. The Pope is not going to go to heaven unless he repents and is born again. Religion never trumps a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God came to make it personal. It gets worse. The Pope has declared, in fact, his comments have sparked debates around the world, that heaven is for atheists also. Now look, I believe that if an atheist departs from his atheism and comes to faith in Christ. Listen, are you a rapist? Are you a murderer? Are you an atheist? Are you a religious person? Are you proud? Are you poor? Are you rich? Are you white? Are you black? Fill in every color in between. Listen, you're lost according to the Bible until you come to faith in Christ. Jesus, think of Jesus died on the cross. And if you could get there some other way, then what in the world was he doing? Well, according to the Pope, fine print down there, it's hard for you to see. Heaven for atheists, Pope sparks debate. And I'll read it to you. CNN News. American atheists welcome Pope Francis comments that God redeems non-believers. Well, that's true if they repent of their sins and come to Christ, not the church. Saying that the new pontiff's historic outreach is helping to topple longstanding barriers. Quote, the Lord has redeemed all of us with the blood of Christ, all of us, not just Catholics, everyone. Wait, that sounds good. Did you hear that carefully? The Lord has redeemed, past tense. Follow along. The Pope told worshipers at morning mass on Wednesday, someone asked, Father, the atheist? Even the atheist, everyone, the Pope responded. Associate professor of theology at the Catholic University of America agrees, pointing out that the Pope's comments came at the feast of Saint Rita, the Catholic patron saint of impossible things. Well, what he's preaching would be impossible. The remarks about atheists show that there is even a saint for atheists, including all of humanity. On this day especially, remarks like that are almost called for. To stress that the gospel redeems all people, including atheists, is the teaching of the church, maybe for the Catholic Church, but not the Christian Church. He added, this is an object fact that the church believes. Executive director of the American Humanist Association, atheist, said that although he has been skeptical of Pope Francis' outreach to the non-religious, he welcomed Wednesday's comment, saying, I gather from this statement that his view of the world's religious and philosophical diversities is expanding. Scary word. He went on to say, while humanists have been saying for years that one can be good without God. First of all, there's a lot of good things done by atheists. You don't have to be a believer in God to do good things. But you doing good things, it doesn't make you good. None of us. Jesus says, the Bible says none of us are good. That's why we need God. The Bible says only one is good, and that is God. Hearing this from the leader of the Catholic Church is quite heartening, he continued. If other religious leaders join him, and they will, it could do much to reduce the automatic distrust and discrimination that atheists and humanists and other non-theists so regularly face. If you take this approach, ain't no one going to make it to heaven. We all go in. We all get in. If we all go in, then what did Jesus do at the cross? Why was he there? This is none other than a false gospel. I know it's first service, and this is stronger than the Starbucks you had this morning. But this is reality, ladies and gentlemen. Souls are at stake forever and ever, in heaven or in hell. It's you. You and I will be living on forever somewhere. And it's so important to God that he sent his only son, Jesus. Where does such deception and talk like this lead? Well, another slide to look at on the screen. Pathetic. The Presbyterian Church in America now prays to Allah. Allah, bless us, is the quotation. Bless our families. Bless our Lord. Lead us on the straight path. Isn't that something, the straight path? The path of all the prophets. Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. Did you know that Jesus is a prophet? That's it. He's a prophet. He's like all the others, not according to the Bible. And the Presbyterian Church has opened themselves up, and there are imams praying in the Presbyterian Church of America, and they're opening their doors to have Islamic gatherings in Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, you might think that's a sweet, warm, and fuzzy kumbaya. God calls it an abomination.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called, Who Told You That You Are Going to Heaven? Part 1. Thank you for listening, and our hope is that you not only know Christ, but have accepted him into your life as your personal Savior. Who Told You That You're Going to Heaven? Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called, Who Told You? It's a series that gives us the truth about heaven and salvation. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. As you might know, we recently wrapped up a series on the book of Galatians. It's called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. In this series, the Apostle Paul shares with us the gospel of grace. We can have true spiritual victory in our lives when we discover that we can't save ourselves by doing good works or by keeping the law. We are saved simply by believing in and accepting Jesus Christ. You can get the uncut audio version of this series on the book of Galatians for a gift of any amount by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get your copy of the Galatians series, Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.